This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2024, held at Ephrata Business Center in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, on March 1 and 2, 2024.
Okay, well, I'm pleased with how many people are here. I wasn't expecting this class to be this big or this many people interested in kindergarten and being part of a kindergarten class. One of the things I think about with kindergarten is I go back to when I was a little boy and there were other people that could run faster than I. You know, we'd have these foot races or we would race at something. It seemed like that was a very popular thing. And I wanted a head start. And most of us want a head start. It doesn't matter whether it's something in our business, the opportunity to get on the road a little sooner when we're planning a trip or whatever. In our area, we live in Western Ohio. And if we're going up to Wisconsin, where my wife is from, we think about Chicago and the traffic there. And if we can get a head start, we'll get past there very quickly. Yeah, if people need more copies, the usher brought some more there. Just get your hand up. So, to me, kindergarten is about a head start. It's an advantage. I guess you know that I'm pro-kindergarten. Now, I'm open to... You can start off with some questions at this point. We have an outline, but I intend to cover a fair amount of ground there. But anybody have questions to start off with?
I guess I would say my basic question is, at our school, we've not had kindergarten for years and years. We just started our second year in, and someone has asked the question, what are we accomplishing?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
What will we accomplish in kindergarten that we won't accomplish with parents running their children through preschool books?
Okay. All right. I think I have all that stuff in my notes. maybe I should tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Lyndon Hartman. And back in, 1987 or something, the school board came to me and asked me to teach. And I'd already taught a half year, and that school in a poor economy ran out of money to pay me at Christmas time, so I had to quit. And so I had a little bit of experience, but basically they were asking me to teach. But they asked a man to teach first and second grade. So I taught first and second grade for 7 years. I loved it. That is where teaching's at, according to me. I also taught grades 5, 6, and 7. Stopped teaching for a while, and then last year and the year before, I again taught, especially last year, completely full-time, and the year before. I was the main teacher, but not full-time. Okay, I also have a daughter, Kayla, who taught first and second grade. She thought it looked interesting, or the dad made it look interesting, so she tried it. And she taught that she was in that classroom a total of like 13 years, I think. And I'm pulling off of some of her experience as well, because those 7 years that I taught first and second grade, we had a future first grader day. Anybody ever heard of such a thing? Mm-hmm. And it was worth about nothing. But it was very frustrating to me as a teacher, because here came next year's first graders and I'm supposed to do something with them, and I need to make something for them to do, and I don't know what their abilities are, and they were all excited and they needed to be kept busy, and I'm still trying to take care of first and second grade, but it's my responsibility to take care of these future first graders. And yeah, it wasn't worth anything as far as I'm concerned. The children had fun. The moms were delighted. Not everybody was bent out of shape, but that's kind of how it went. And I did that year after year, and that was this accepted thing. Now let's go a little bit farther, and multiple years later, Kayla starts teaching. And I think, or I know, she was an aide for 2 years, and the second year that she was an aide, the school they were teaching in decided to try doing kindergarten. And I think that first year it was just for 2 weeks. And eventually, that continued. She became the main teacher the following year, and we began to have kindergarten then for a 7 week period that was fluid. It could move around a little bit. So we'll discuss that a little bit more too. And we will discuss Kayla's role in that as we go along. Okay, let's look at our outline for a little bit, and then we'll go. I have a tendency to rattle on and on. If you get a question, get your hand up in the air. I will try to see that. And because I do want to hear from you, I really don't like it when I do all the talking. So, okay, for the students, what's the purpose? I did the purpose first. I know in the title it says structure and purpose, but to me, we need to know the purpose first so that we then know how to structure. So, for the students, they're excited to learn. I am blessed with children at that age who are just, I can hardly wait to go to school. And mom says that next week we're going to start school. And, you know, they're all excited. It's wonderful. You don't get that in fifth and sixth grade. It's just not there. What's our purpose for having kindergarten? To me, that gives you an opportunity to get an indication of the readiness of this child for first grade. There are some schools out there that their main emphasis is teaching the children a whole bunch of stuff in kindergarten. That doesn't mean a lot to me. I think it should be structured, it should be orderly, there should be learning taking place. But there's some other purposes that are there that are probably more important to me than the academics that they receive in kindergarten. Now, the academics are important as well, but bear with me on that one. So it gives me, or gives the teacher, or gives the school, maybe I should say it that way, an indication of this child's readiness. And I know of situations where after kindergarten, the decision was made, and it was, not everybody was happy with it, this child needs to stay home another year. That is much easier to make that decision at the end of kindergarten than it is after you're 6 weeks into first grade. All right? It's very painful, 6 weeks into first grade. I helped with a situation that was that way. And God bless the parents. Because they said I had experience, I got involved with it. I wasn't the teacher at the time. And the parents decided that if Lyndon said that, probably that's what we should do. And I was a little worried about that. But the parents were gracious enough to come back. This was a first grade situation. 6 weeks in, the teacher said, this isn't working. I can't give attention to the other first graders like I should. Anyway, a lot of details there. But the parents came back and said, we are amazed. 3 days after we pulled him out of school, he's back to playing on the floor with his brothers playing trucks. Just like school never happened. He came back to school the next year. Hey, he was a little bit smarter than the other first graders because he'd had 6 weeks of them trying to cram it into his head the year before. He still struggled in school a little bit. When he left our school in the 10th grade, he could make 100% on a test. That's not the bar for everything. But it tells me that we did the right thing back there because he would have struggled and he had probably been making 80s or 85s. You have to make an 80 to pass, right? So anyhow. Okay. Back to the students. An indication of their readiness. It gives you time to fix problems. Okay, so we see that this child goes through kindergarten and the teacher can identify that there are some problems here. You still have time. Now that depends a little bit, and we'll talk about that when you have your kindergarten time during the school year. But you may say, he seems almost ready. It's usually a he. No, not necessarily. He seems almost ready, but he really needs work in this and this and this. Oh, okay. And so the parents say, we really want him to go next year. Okay, what are you willing to do about it? You put it back in the parents' lap at that time. You do what you can with whatever amount of time you have kindergarten. That's good. But if they, and the child should be reassessed later in the summer then to see if the growth that you wanted actually happened. Ron, when am I supposed to be done? I want to make sure that I...
11 o'clock.
Okay. So the end of kindergarten is an excellent time to take the first grade readiness test if your school does that. There's that opportunity. We incorporate that in. That's the last thing that happens in kindergarten. They take the first grade readiness test. And that's really not about what they learned in kindergarten. It's just saying, are they ready for first grade? There's schools that give that test that do not have kindergarten. But it's a good time, an opportunity to work that in. And you have a teacher there ready to help with that. And there again, there's indication, well, the level they came out on the readiness test is not real good. Here are some things that could be worked on, but you can do the readiness test again. Say the 1st of August, last of July, whenever you choose to do that. So another purpose is it's an opportunity to indoctrinate the child into the school culture. Now, I know there are some communities, and because they do not have a large building or is for a variety of reasons, they have the kindergarten off-site, and I don't like that. They should be able to bump shoulders with the seventh graders in the hallway sometimes or whatever and just see what's happening, what's going on. They get a real school feel. And that teacher needs to be like a mother hen, making sure they're not getting abused by older children or anything like that. But it gives that opportunity for the child to get used to the school culture. Otherwise, all these things I'm talking about, otherwise you're going to be doing them in first grade. And first grade is jam-packed, at least with Christian-like material, curriculum. That's what I'm used to. And if they're trying to get all this other thing, we may actually think we have a struggling student, and it's just that they're trying to fit into whatever this crazy thing is that we're doing here. We were excited about it, but now it's awfully scary. And kindergarten is that safe place that should get the child ready to be in the school system the next year. Last thing for the students, they learn discipline in a structured environment. I forget who said something about, why don't we just have the moms do it at home? There's lots of good moms that can teach kindergarten very well at the kitchen table. But it's usually not terribly structured. There's a diaper to change over here or another child that needs discipline and whatever. In the kindergarten setting, you have a teacher, hopefully there's no diapers to change there. You have a teacher that is focused on working with this set of children. And they get that full attention. It does wonders for them. And you find out the ones that weren't disciplined very well at home. But you can work on it then, instead of the first grade teacher doing it when he or she is just desperate to get past. I always felt like once I got the first 6 weeks done of first grade, That was kind of the crest for me. There were several crests, but that was the first one. So, first grade teacher, if they don't have to deal with that, it's a big load off of them. Okay, any questions about that point? Purpose for the student? Or anything that I've covered?
I'd just give one caution on your second readiness test. We did that last year.
Mm-hmm.
Left him come back because he...
He did okay on it?
Did better. Now we wish
you had him. You would, and that's up to school policy. If you want to say, as a board, that they give the readiness test, they didn't pass it, here's what we do with it, that's fine.
I would be cautious.
Yeah. Because,
just because mom wants it,
right.
Okay. Doesn't say it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, definitely so.
I got a question.
Okay.
So I just came from dealing with difficult parents, and we're supposed to try to understand. Does any, like, honest question, does anyone know what is, because we have at school, we have kindergarten that's not ready for first grade, and the parents are really, really pushing. Does anyone know why parents want that so badly, or some parents? Like, have you...
There's a variety of reasons for that.
Yeah, okay.
One reason is there may be several other preschoolers at home and the mom needs some relief. I mean, I have somewhere in my notes that it is not for a babysitting service. That's on down on purpose for the parents.
Okay.
And I faced that. The first year I taught, I had a boy in second grade that was the same age as a boy in first grade. Same birthday, October something. Strangely enough, in that school at that time, we had a cutoff day that you had to be six by the last day of October. Maybe it's the last day of September, but I thought it was the last day of October. Was it October?
The birthday of September.
September. It was September, okay. She was also in second grade that day. She remembers those things. Okay, so... But the
board. Is there a group of, like, are there cousins or someone in that cohort of students that the mom wants that child to go with, you know, to these things happen?
Yeah. Not in this case, I don't think.
Yeah.
Is it the first trial, second?
Okay.
Maybe it's because mothers want to work.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it can just be a pressure. We have young children and you want to get them started and see them succeed, and you're afraid you're going to miss a year if they're going to be a year behind if they can't wait another year.
I now, think there's a stigma that goes along with having to stay back.
I actually think that's probably the closest thing.
Now, my daughter Kayla was always blessed. I heard it over and over again as I sat at the supper table with her. She was blessed with moms that were sure their child wasn't ready for first grade. That's a completely different attitude than I hear in some communities. And they say, Kayla, we just don't think he's ready, but we'll send him to kindergarten, and you tell us. You'll tell us, won't you? Yeah. Yeah, she would. And you mean he's really ready for first grade? I know that's different. Okay. Somebody else was going to say something.
Well, I think, so some brother over here mentioned that, you know, the stigma, you know, As a parent, we have, our children are very dear to us, and we want them to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first big indications of whether they're going to succeed is school.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look at that and think, oh, you know, here they are, and everybody else's children are ready to go. You know, we must be awful parents or something like that. You know, and I think that's some of what drives parents to insist that their child goes. One of the things that I've done when we've had students who were questionable whether they go, I always tell the parents, there are some cases where we say, no, we're not accepting, mm-hmm. it's clear cut. When it was questionable, I always tell the parents this, they may pass first grade, they may not.
Are you prepared for that redo?
Are you prepared? Because taking a readiness test and their question, when you hold them out 1 year, that's not nearly so bad as they did first grade and they failed, and now it's not a question.
Yeah.
now they are going to stay back.
You talk about stigma.
Yeah. And then when you frame it like that, parents, it becomes very clear to them what they ought to do.
And really, all of our focus should be on what's best for this child. Not about me, my pride, my, you know, but I know we're humans still. But, you know, what is really best for this child? Thank you. Let's look at that next one there. A purpose for the teachers. It's a blessing for the first grade teacher. Okay? Okay, back to Kayla. When they finally got something going, she was okay with this. And you may raise your eyebrows about this, but she taught the kindergarten. She was the first and second grade teacher. The board brought in a helper. We did not start for, kindergarten until, I think, February. And ran it for 7 weeks, 4 days a week. Prayer meeting Wednesday night, no kindergarten on Wednesday. So that's kind of that was our pattern. A young girl, I mean, maybe it's a high school graduate that just got out or something like that. She'd come in and she'd help take care of first and second grade. It was all done in the same room. Kayla could keep an eye on her first and second graders, but she focused on the kindergarten. Kayla liked it because it told her what she needed to get ready for next year. When she taught many years in a row, that was very helpful to her. The parents also trusted her a lot with that because they knew she was a first grade teacher. That may not work in your setting at all. I'm just telling you how that worked for us. But it also, I trusted Kayla for what she said when she said, "Dad, having kindergarten gives me a 3-week head start on first grade." Because sometimes our kindergarten teachers, they've never taught first grade or they're not going to be teaching the first grade. They never see that connection. Kayla said, "Okay, so we had it for 7 weeks and it only gave her a 3-week head start." Still, 3 weeks to a first grade teacher is huge. It's well worth the effort, is worth the time. And she put a lot of emphasis on providing discipline for those children and getting them used to raising their hand and, you know, doing the usual classroom disciplines that we have. She worked on those things in kindergarten. Then she'd have to work on that. So much, at least. There was always, again, some boys that... but, you know, that really helps the first grade teacher. It helps all the teachers in the school if you're getting a good foundation, a good start in school. So there you have another pro. Okay, and some of that comes out in number 3 for the school. It may avoid some struggles next year. And we've already talked about that some. Another purpose for the school, it's a head start may make all the difference in the remainder of the child's school years. And I think of that boy that I mentioned earlier that he went to first grade 6 weeks or 7 or whatever it was and was pulled out. And that was painful. Amazingly enough, that was mostly most painful for the grandparents. Never quite understood that. But I am convinced that what we did there was right for him because of how it worked out in the remainder of his time in our school. His family moved away when he was in the 10th grade. So, very pleased with how he did. Okay, number 4, the purpose for the parents. That's where I have that note. It's not a babysitting service. It's not just an opportunity to get the child out of the home. Mom's tired of dealing with this child and let the teacher try it for a while. That's the wrong attitude, parents. and I hope we, as boards, we need to have some idea and something in our policy book about how old a child has to be able to, basically we look at it as when they will start first grade. But then that affects back to when they can, whether they can start kindergarten or not. I don't think we should fudge those rules. And we should not say, well, let's send them to kindergarten and see how that turns out, and then we'll decide whether we're going to keep our rule or not. Don't do that. Now, if a parent, a set of parents comes to the board and says, we have some questions about our child's development. He is old enough to go to first grade next year, but we think we would like to keep him home another year. Hooray, that's wonderful. Let's do that. That will not hurt that child at all. He will be in good hands. Obviously, those parents are very concerned that their child does well in school. And maybe the mom, maybe she was a teacher, and she's pretty sure she's going to put some effort into this the next year, and she's going to come up with a plan and try to get this child better. And maybe it's socially, maybe it's coordination and things like that. There are signs out there, and parents that are diligent enough to read up on it and do some research, it can help them. And maybe we need some of that research as well so that we can help parents. Just a thought there. But make sure you have an age. Is it they have to turn 6 by the time they start school? What's ours, Rodney?
Free, you're going to ask that. I think it's maybe...
1st of August?
I was going to say July 30. They have to be by July 30.
Yeah, that's ours. I know places where they have to be 6 by the end of the previous school year. And, or the end of June. So it's all over the board. You just have to make a decision where that's at and what your community is comfortable with, and you go with that. Yes?
Is that same for preschool and first grade, or do you have a different one? So if you would have, like, the end of the school year for it to be in preschool,
first grade,
then it would be the same as first grade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We actually look at the age for first grade, and then that depends whether you're going to go to kindergarten or not. Yeah. Okay? Yes?
You mentioned the parents not letting it, not thinking it's a daycare. How do you parent a parent in that situation? Like, or how do you develop a culture of that expectation that are willing to onboard parents?
Okay. Anybody have...
have a bunch of your parents be former school teachers.
Okay, that helps.
I think just an understanding, like almost like a handbook, but even having something like this right now, like what is the purpose of kindergarten? This is why we're here. This is what we're doing. This is what we're, and here's some things they can work on at home, you know, before kindergarten or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just an understanding, and even having that written down for parents, like this is not a babysitting,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have that attitude, maybe reconsider. They have a clear grasp of why we're doing kindergarten, how we're doing it, what's the purpose behind it, and same
yeah.
communication.
I did not foresee this question, or I would have brought something that Christian Life's just come out with, and it's called a parent orientation book. We had one a long time ago, and we redid it and restructured it, and I'm pushing it out to boards to consider using it. It's great if a board gets a bunch of parents together, and this would be after you got the cycle started, you would do this with new parents, set them down and say, here's the expectations of the school. And you wouldn't just focus on kindergarten, you would focus on all things. But you're trying to build your school, your community culture up that school is important, and how we do school is important. Okay? So, I'm afraid I don't have one of those along. But anyhow, call the office and ask for a copy or however many copies you want. We are providing it as a free service to schools that want to use it. And I've had some good response already on that. But you're trying to work to promote a healthy, good school culture. Now, will you get 100%? No. So, okay. Just so you know that.
I think along with that, like, how to prepare the parents that it's not a, our school requires, or kind of has the understanding that the children do some books at home before they come into kindergarten. And, you know, that maybe gets the mom thinking that, you know, there's a purpose for this, just besides getting that this is what we're working for. And, like, and our kindergarten teacher is really good at communicating, you know, where.
So the moms kind of know.
So the moms understand that we're actually working on something at school. We're not just throwing Play-Doh around.
Right. Right. I mean, dropping down to your structure thing there, the teacher goals, the mothers, even let's say they're not sending their child to kindergarten the year before, or that year, they're the year before that, they should be able to come to this year's kindergarten teacher and say, what are your expectations for a child at the end of this class? And there should be some sort of clear expectations. Can they tie their shoes? Well, it's not in the curriculum, but can they tie their shoes? Can they count to 20? And so they can start working on that ahead of time, but that's some of the things that a teacher probably has the goal and to know their letters by the end of kindergarten. And you may have different goals. I don't know. There's probably many different kinds of kindergarten here. Some schools that I visit schools for Christian Life, so I get into a lot of schools and I try to ask, you know, some of these questions. Some schools have kindergarten all year long. They need a lot more material than Christian Light has to make that happen. They're going to do our stuff, they're going to do Rod and Staff stuff, they're going, yeah, and then they're going to go to Becca, or something like that. But then they may also have it all year long, but only half days. That doesn't happen real often because mom's got to stop whatever she's doing in the middle of the day and come pick up children or something. And it's more likely to happen that it's going to be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or, you know, 2 or 3 days a week, and but still all week, all year long, in that respect. But there, it takes a fair amount more material to take care of it then. In our setting, we do Christian Lights Kindergarten 2. And that has 30 lessons, and, you know, we do it for 7 weeks, for 4 days a week. That's 28 days, and it seems like that works out pretty good. I can even get the readiness test done. But we're fluid about that. So we've had some snow days, or we've had this and that and whatever. And because we're doing it in February and March, we can push the end date out a little bit if we need to. I know of a school in Indiana that their school day structure is only 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. And I thought, oh, this is really interesting. And then also I said, how do you get it all done for first grade? Well, the way they do it is they have kindergarten all year long, and as soon as they're through the kindergarten courses, they start on first grade in kindergarten. That's trying to jam quite a bit of stuff in a too small a sack, but they like it so well they'll never go back, I don't think. That's working for them. They do have nap time for, I think, kindergarten and first grade because of how long their day is. Their day starts at 8:30 and goes to 3:30, I think, so something like that. But then they only have 4 days a week and they really like that. But see, there's just another type of structure of how to do kindergarten. So you need to find out what kind of structure is right for your community. I'm trying to give you some ideas, but don't say, well, Lennon said that's the way you should do it, so that's the way we have to do it. It needs to fit your situation. We suggest that the home do kindergarten, Christian Lights Kindergarten 1. Or something comparable to that. I have a 4-year-old grandson. He's about 5. And my daughter-in-law said, Dad, when you're down at Christian Light, can you pick up the Kindergarten 1? We're ready to start that, you know. And they're just working easily at it and stuff. And the older brother's in first grade. And the mom was a first grade teacher many years ago. And, you know, that there just, it kind of works along seamlessly, and we head into school. But these other things we're talking about, they are bumps in the road, and they can be really rocky if we don't have a plan in place as we get started. Your teacher, okay, let's look at some variables in our structure. Your teacher availability. Can you find somebody for that? This year, we're doing something that I'm kind of excited about. We've got a high school girl that is basically done with her work. She's still doing some biology and all, but she is teaching our kindergarten for us as a half credit that she's getting for that. And her mom, Becky, you might as well raise your hand, taught our kindergarten last year. She can oversee her daughter and make sure that things are working out good there. I like some checks and balances there. I wouldn't want to just take a high schooler and throw them loose in there and nobody's checking up on them or giving any oversight or somebody they trust they can ask questions and all. So what's your teacher availability for that? What's your room? Do you have room? Kayla had a big enough room for first and second grade that she could squeeze things together a little bit and put kindergarten over at the other end. It worked out well there. I know places where they move an outbuilding in and the kindergarten's there. It kind of takes them away from the school experience a little bit. They probably still have to go inside and stuff for some things, maybe for if there's a gym or something, but you got to think ahead, where are we going to put this in? And just because you only have two kindergartners this year and you can cram it into a room that is 8x8, don't plan on that always being the case. Do we really have enough room for kindergarten? It depends on what your desired results are. I was at a school just not too long ago where they only have it, I think, for 2 weeks, no more than three, and they just try to do the first two books in Kindergarten 2, Christian Lights Kindergarten 2. And they're just basically giving the children the experience. They're probably working on discipline and some of those things, but they're not really, that school is probably not putting a lot of effort into actually getting many academics into the child's head. So, any questions? Yes?
So we have a six days of preschool, and the first grade teacher does that and get a substitute first grade. Is there any pros and cons between the first grade teacher doing the kindergarten versus just pulling someone to just...
If she's going to teach again next year, there's a definite pro there in having the first grade teacher. That's the way I see it. How do some of the rest of you see that?
Yeah, so we've done it that way, where the teacher's coming back, they normally always do the preschool.
Okay.
This year we're trying something different. I don't know. I think we're doing a split and split, where she wants them in the classroom for part of the day, but mm-hmm. she has the first and second grade teacher that taught last year there to help her. My bigger question, though, is with the desired results as well, is we have done the whole five-book thing at home, but we've struggled for parents to grasp what the child really should come to preschool days prepared for. Mm-hmm. And I know you touched on it like a roundabout, but I'm still not probably crystal clear on the roundabout method.
See, my big problem with having parents do it at home is that, okay, like my daughter-in-law that taught first grade before, she's going to be very thorough. The next mom has three other preschool children, and she cannot put the same level. Her intentions may be great, and she may have ability, but her attention is spread out over too many children or other responsibilities. And you know, sometimes, okay, grandma's going to come in and help this day, and Aunt Susie's going to come the next day and help, and it becomes very chaotic what we're trying to do and have the home do for us, and you get very differing results when they come to school the next year. And that's why some of the moms are so worried, because they know they didn't do a very good job.
I think your point about kindergarten being a place where you can develop familiarity is really key too. Mm-hmm. That way, like in first grade, when they're doing all this. They're not figuring out school at the same
time.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
And more than do, like, Fridays, we have the whole school does recess together, just
okay.
So that high schoolers can just kind of get to know each other and
okay.
So they're figuring out the schedule. And stuff
right.
Like that, yeah. So at home, you're not getting that.
Right. Did you have more question on
we're at a 5 day
structure.
We're at a 5-6 day as well. And
mm-hmm.
I've been principal for one too many years and I'm still struggling with this whole pre kindergarten thing
okay.
because it's like I agree. The reality is they get into first grade and they're clueless on structure
mm-hmm.
for the first 6 weeks. And so we're about 6 weeks, we can end up being 5 or 6 weeks behind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in reality.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
where specifically if you have a perfectionist as a teacher.
I mean, if you have a structured, I'm going to say 6 to 8 week kindergarten, it gives you a consistency that you won't, in the first graders, that you won't have otherwise. So that's just one big plus to me.
Children are very adaptable. And they, most of them make friends very quickly. One of my observations, we have it for 10 weeks, 3 days a week.
Okay.
3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
One of my observations is that you get into kindergarten just a few weeks and they are used to being with each other, and when they come to first grade,
same
they're
set.
Back with their friends again,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have all that social awkwardness in mm-hmm. first grade. And I think that is, they're more at ease, and that aids the education in first grade. That's one of the desired results that we like to see.
One of the things that Kayla seemed to always face every year as she taught kindergarten was these children don't know how to raise their hands. They talk out of turn. They may get up out of their desk and whatever. And she put some effort into that and accepted the fact that these are kindergartners, and she gave them a lot of grace. But she kind of stumbled on a way of discipline that really worked well for her. And she told me, she said, I don't think it'd work in first grade, but it worked on kindergartners. She took pictures out of magazines with pretty scenery pictures and put them on your recipe cards or 3x5 cards, whatever they're called. Magnet, put it on the side of their desk. It's nice. And she told them what she was going to do. But she said, if you, okay, this is about 1 week in, and she's told them they need to raise their hands. She gives them a lot of grace. But she said, now, here's what's going to happen. She said, that card is going to go home with you today, and we want to keep it nice. But if you forget to raise your hand, I'm going to take a hole punch, and I'm going to punch a hole in it. Cruel, all right? And I think this was born out of a desperation with a certain boy that couldn't remember to raise his hand. So, you know, it's still mid-morning and he forgets to raise his hand, and she just walks over and picks up the card, and he's okay, and she puts it back on his desk, and he shrugged, and she thought, this isn't going to work. But she kept an eye on him and she kept working with the children and all, and after a while he was puts it back. 5 minutes later, puts it back. And there's something about kindergartners that they sure don't know how to keep their mouth shut, because he went home and told his mom about it. And his mom kind of came unglued. And Kayla wasn't planning on this happening, but parents started disciplining children at home for holes in their picture. That really brought results. And then this boy had a younger brother. He was a 4-year-old that was pretty smart. And he began to greet his brother at the door by saying, hey, I'm going to leave the name out, where's your picture card? And he'd pull it out of his backpack, and it's got another hole in it. You know?
So just curious, was that a new picture every day?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But she'd only had, okay, she had them for 7 weeks. She waited about a week to start it. And it was usually only about 2 weeks later, and she didn't have to use it anymore. And she said, I just don't think it'd ever work with a first grader. They're too hardened criminals by that time or something.
First grade
class
did that.
Did they? Okay.
Sometimes their picture was on it, on a bulletin board.
Okay.
You got a punch on the bulletin board.
Okay.
And it stayed there.
Yeah. All right. So there's another, and it would work for some first graders, but you know what I mean. At that age, and they don't keep it from their parents, you know, third, fourth graders are going to try to slip it in their backpack and forget it conveniently or something. But it just really worked well for her. And then she gets them in first grade, and they're good to go. And we are way over time. I'm sorry. You are dismissed. Thank you for your help.